and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This passage in Matthew has created the dangerous perception that all we have to do is acknowledge Jesus is the Messiah and everything is perfect. After all, when Peter says that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus praises Simon bar Jonah, meaning Simon the son of Jonah, and gives him a great new name. In Greek, Petros. In Hebrew, Cephas, meaning rock. Who doesn't want to be called solid as a rock by Jesus? Dwayne Johnson? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He even tells Peter that he's going to build his church on that rock. He even tells Peter that he will be able to loose things on earth and in heaven. And he'll be able to bind things on earth and heaven. Wow. Doesn't that mean Peter hit a home run? Well, as we know, the next part of the story has Peter being rebuked by Jesus and called Satan. We know that Peter later denies Christ 3 times. Obviously, Peter has not found perfection. Not only that, but after praising Peter's perception, he tells him not to tell anybody. As some might say, what's up with that? If you're wondering why Jesus wouldn't want people to know he is the Messiah, you'd be in good company, as a lot of ink has been spilled over the question of the messianic secret, or places in Scripture where Jesus specifically tells people not to tell anyone who he is. Don't tell anyone. This wouldn't necessarily work as a great evangelical approach, would it? Or would it? What if we followed the model of the Gospel of Matthew and didn't go around proclaiming Jesus is the Messiah? What if instead we offered signs of Jesus? Like kindness, mercy, healing, forgiveness, abundance, justice. What if instead of approaching someone with Jesus first, we approach the world with the way of Jesus? Instead of the hard sell, act now response, we go with the slow roll. We build relationships. We go deeper. And that is what we see in the Romans passage. It's not about me. It's not about what I believe or what I profess. It's not about what I know and whom I proclaim. The concept of my personal salvation because I've come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and know Him to be the Messiah is diminished. It's not all about me. Our role is to be part of the body of Christ, showing the love of God to the world through expressing our giftedness. And to prevent us from boasting, not only is it not about what I know, it's not about how good my gift is. The body of Christ is made up of persons with different gifts. all of which are necessary and important. The church needs generous donors, and Paul says generosity is in itself an important gift. The church needs persons to encourage those who are discouraged. And Paul says exhortation, which means encouraging others, is a gift. The church needs people to speak the prophetic word of God. That is the truth to those who may not want to hear it. Prophecy is a gift. The church needs people to minister to others. Ministry is a gift. Now, before you say, well, none of those things is my gift, you need to know that the list in Romans 12 is not an exclusive list of gifts. Gifts of God to the church, the body of Christ, are listed in several different places, and they include different things each time. In other words, Paul gives examples of ways that God uses us as the body of Christ. These examples are not all the ways God can and does use us. How do we know that? Well, as I mentioned, Paul has different lists in various books. These lists are meant to illustrate or give examples of the gifts of God. For example, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 13. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. End quote. All of us have God-given talents that can be used to strengthen the body of Christ. Do you have a special love for and talent for teaching children? Do you have a love for the garden and God's creation? Are you a good cook and enjoy feeding people? Do you have more time than you know what to do with? What talents do you have? And what do you do with them? How do you use them to the glory of God? To go back to Matthew for a minute, one commentator mentions that the Greek tense of the verbs in the story show continuing action. In other words, Jesus is not asking who they've said He is in the past. Jesus is saying, who are you saying that I am? who are you saying that I am? The proclamation of Jesus as Messiah is a continuing action. And as my dad used to say, actions speak louder than words. We best proclaim Jesus as Messiah by living like Jesus is Messiah, like Jesus is Lord, like Jesus somehow makes a difference in our lives. Maybe that is why Jesus tells them not to say who he is. Maybe it's because he wants them to live out who he is. And as I've said before, one of my favorite quotes from Francis of Assisi is, always preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Saying Jesus is Messiah is really pretty easy. After all, what does it really mean? The Hebrew word Messiah simply means anointed one. In Greek, anointed one is Christus, where we get our word Christ. A person who has oil poured over their head is a Messiah, a Christ. King David was a Messiah. Actually, there are numerous figures in the Bible. And after biblical times, there were others who also claimed to be the Messiah. So to further complicate matters, there are conflicting prophecies about what a promised Messiah even is. Would it be a conquering king who, like David, would unify the Israelites and restore their power and glory on earth? Some sought a spiritual Messiah who would save their souls and then separate them from the material world. The word Messiah is complicated and confusing and can lead to misunderstanding. Is it any wonder Jesus did not want his disciples focusing on labeling him as the Messiah? Jesus wanted his disciples then and now to live like he is the Lord. Jesus wanted his disciples then and now to love his creation and all people like he's the Lord of the kingdom of heaven. May we all use our gifts for the glory of God. And then we are truly proclaiming Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the affirmation of faith printed.